We're changing the shape of our service today for Advent, so I'm just going to dive into things here. If you're a guest, my name is Scott Anderson, and we're very thankful to have you with us today. I'm going to pray as we begin toward our message, and pray for our offering as well. Just want to say, if you're new with us or a guest, this is not a cover charge. It's true. It's not. And yet, the provision of what helps this happen is through the sharing of our finances together as a community devoted to Christ. It's an act of trust in our lives as followers of Jesus. And so if you're a guest, you're welcome to allow the plate to pass. If you want to give, you're welcome, but you're not. There's no expectation. Let's pray together. Well, I want to, as we pray, I'm just going to name, we have a young adult alpha group that's meeting today, throughout this day, learning about the Holy Spirit. I'm aware, too, there's been, Gina Ballard passed away this week, and so Ron Ballard is in a season of grieving. Some of us know them, some of us don't. I know Peter Hildebrand took a turn yesterday for the worse, and so things are changing for Peter and Pat, and so I'm sure there's others. So let's just bring this as we come to God in prayer. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, dear desire of every nation, joy of every heart, we come to you, longing for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that is our prayer, it's our longing, because that is your purpose and dream and pursuit. And so we come to you, God, today, asking for your grace again here for us, for the things that we bring, the stuff in our lives that is broken in need of healing, stuff in our hearts that is broken, in need of restoration, renewal by your Spirit. We lift to you our young adult friends that are gathered at the Williams home this morning to learn about the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit is a part of the gospel, and we pray for them today. God, for your ministry there today. God, for your awakening in the lives of those present to know their need for the renewing life of God in Christ by the Spirit today. So come meet with them. God, we lift up friends among us here and not with us today who are grieving. We lift up to you Peter and Pat Hildebrand and their family and many of us who ache with them. And so many others, God, right here and not with us today who are in places of pain, in places of struggle. God, we ask for your sustaining grace, your life, your hand, your presence today. You are our strength, our comfort. So we look to you. And God, we give to you our offering, this regular practice that we do, not just as a congregation in our service, but in each of our lives, as we give to the things that you have called us to give toward. And we ask, God, that you would lead us in faith and trust today, and you would take this and give wisdom to those who use it for your purposes here within the life of our congregation, and where it goes beyond us to serve and support our missional partners around the world, our missionaries here and across the world. Lord, we ask for your purposes to be done through this, God, your kingdom, your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Give us ears to hear your voice as we turn to you in your word. Come and anoint me today, God. Amen. Let's invite the ushers to come. We're going to start this morning. Well, let me get settled. I usually have 2 minutes while you guys kind of walk around and greet one another. But it's kind of my fault because we made a new plan for today. Oh, if you're in Apex, if you're in grade 6 to 8, it's time to get out of here. So maybe you haven't yet. Looks like my son already went. So maybe if you're in grade 6 to 8, it's time for you to be out of here. Looks like they've gone. Okay. So this morning, as Catherine said, we have begun. Today marks not just the beginning of the first Sunday of December, but the first Sunday in Advent. Despite all of our repeated statements that we are now in the Christmas season, the Christian church for centuries has regarded this not as the Christmas season, but as the season of Advent, which prepares us for and culminates in the celebration of Christmas, which itself is not a single day, but in the ancient tradition, it's 12 days of celebrating. And so this morning, I want to help us enter into Advent, not Christmas necessarily, to help us see and feel the gift of Advent and why we need it. Because I'm convinced we do. And I hope if you're not sure of that today, you'll feel that with me. And so this morning, I want to start with a song. I'm going to unplug this first. Thank you. It's a song we're going to sing at the end of the service all together. But I'm going to introduce it to us now. Hopefully this works. It's a song some of us would have heard on the radio, if we listen to Christian radio station, 106.5, or maybe on some Christian music streaming platform, or on the internet. It's been a bit viral this year in some settings. It's a song called Is He Worthy? It's by Andrew Peterson, one of my favorite singer-songwriters. It's getting a bunch of airplay right now because Chris Tomlin picked it up, and he's been singing it. Some other people have been singing it. And so it's being heard. But this is a prayer, a song that is a song we need in Advent. So we're going to come back and sing the whole song together, but I'm going to teach us the beginning of it if you don't know it. If you do know it, just like join in, okay? You'll know if you do know the song, it's a bit of a call and response. In liturgical language, it is a responsive prayer, responsive reading. It invites our participation. So it's really simple. Are we on? Not very pretty. Sorry about that. That's my fault. Okay, so I'm going to sing, do you feel the world is broken? And you reply, we do. Okay, and I really want some of you got a good musical ear, and there's like, it's not just we do, but you can add like a second or like jump in there. Let's make a beautiful chords here, okay? So let's learn it. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. You got it? Okay, you can join in more than that. I believe in it, okay? So, we're going to sing the first two verses together, and I want to invite us to take these words in, okay? Because these are, we need this. We do, that's right. Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that we could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. We're going to come back and sing the rest of that. Oh. At the end together. But I think it's the last line in that second verse that is such a perfect introduction to why we need Advent, why we need to embrace the season and call of this ancient Christian season called Advent. A season that invites us to remember the promises and purposes of God for the world, which includes us, but also a season that invites us to give voice to the ache of the world, which includes us. The ache of a world longing to be whole, a creation groaning and longing to be whole. That this remembrance and this ache would fuel in us a hungry hope for the fulfillment of God's purposes, God's promises in Christ. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? I hope so. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? We need this reminder, don't we? Because if we're honest, we are so prone to forgetting. Daniel talked about this last Sunday in the grumbling of the Israelites just months after being rescued from Egypt. There's something in all of us that so easily loses track of the grand story of God's action and promises, the story of God of which we are a part, and we end up totally absorbed by the present moment, right? By our joy or our sorrow, the monotony or the struggle of the present. And we find ourselves so absorbed with what is in the present that we lose our vision of the horizons of God's work in the past and his promise to work in the future. We end up believing and living as though this is all there is. This is all there ever was. This is all there ever will be. We lose sight of, we forget the story that is unfolding in which our stories are lived. And God, in his mercy and grace, knows this. The God of Exodus, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, knows this about us. And so in his wise love, God, by the Spirit, invites his people to seasons, rhythms of remembrance, to participate in seasons of remembrance, not just high and holy days like Christmas and Easter and Black Friday, but seasons like Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and Lent, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, and Ordinary Time, what many refer to as the liturgical calendar or the Christian calendar. And I know as I say this, some of you might be squirming a bit. This doesn't sound like New Testament faith. This doesn't sound like the grace of life in Christ. It sounds more like the traditions of man, as some generations would say. Just a bunch of empty religious musts or do's or shoulds that we've left behind by the grace of God. No, we're a Bible church. We're Jesus people, right? We live by the word and spirit. We live by grace through faith and not by the traditions of men and women. But I want to suggest today that the liturgical calendar, these seasons of remembrance, Advent and Lent and all the rest, though not something prescribed by Jesus, may be exactly what we need to help us live our lives in the story of Jesus. I want to say that again because this is key to what I'm after today. I want to suggest that the liturgical calendar, these seasons of remembrance, Advent, Lent, and all the rest, though not something prescribed by Jesus, may be exactly what you and I need to help us live our lives in the story of Jesus. Yeah, the Christian calendar is the tradition of man, something that the church over the centuries has developed and passed on. But could it also be the wisdom of God? Could it also be something that the Holy Spirit was and is in? Think about this with me. What is the first thing in the biblical narrative to be declared holy by God? What am I hearing? Sabbath. That's right. Abraham Heschel, one of the most significant Jewish theologians in the 20th century, asked the question in his wonderful book, Sabbath. What was the first holy object in the history of the world? Was it a mountain? Was it an altar? We often think of holy people, holy place. And yet when we read Genesis, we discover, as he says, it is indeed a unique occasion at which the distinguished word kadosh, Hebrew for holy, is used for the first time in the book of Genesis at the end of the story of creation. Genesis 2, verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. This is the only time in the whole book of Genesis that the word kadosh, holy, is used. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Before any person was declared holy, before any place was spoken of as holy, God made the Sabbath a day, a time, a block of time, holy. Now, many books have been written on this topic, but let us simply acknowledge that from the beginning of time, one of the ways that God has purposed to sanctify us, that is to make us holy, that is to make us like Jesus, is through the grace of holy time. Which might seem like an unfamiliar idea to Protestant evangelicals like us, but let me suggest that it is not unfamiliar, that we learn this from God in Scripture. We've encountered this in the Exodus narrative. If you've been with us, we've been this fall studying through the book of Exodus. We've kind of got to a midpoint, and we'll pick up on it in January. But recently, we've touched on this, though we've hardly named it. The climax of God's rescue of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, what does God institute? The Passover. Exodus 12, the Passover. God doesn't just rescue them. In the act of rescue, Exodus 12, God institutes an annual feast. We're reading the story. We hear God saying, it's about to happen. You flip the page or the Torah, the scroll to Exodus 12, and the story kind of stops, and God explains that from here on out, every year, on the 10th day, starting on the 10th day, the first day of the month, you, God's people, the Israelites, will stop and celebrate a feast to remember. A holy feast of remembrance to celebrate every year starting on the 10th day of the month so that the Israelites would never forget, so that they would always remember that through this annual feast marked into their day timers, their calendars, they would never forget, they would always remember what Yahweh their God has done for them, what this means about Yahweh, and what this means for them as the people of this saving God. No matter what the coming years would bring, no matter where they would find themselves, even if they found themselves no longer with a temple, displaced somewhere else far from their homeland, this feast marked into the rhythm of their annual calendar would help them remember and be shaped by this remembrance. It would tether them year after year to the actions and the promise of their God. I'm caught this week by this idea of being tethered. I hope I'm using this right. We just got a dog this week, last Sunday. Sorry, I had to reference it. You know, I'll show you pictures another time. His name is Uncle Webster. And we don't really go outside with him much without a leash. And I was thinking that I was doing some yard work the other day, and one thinking about tethering him, like attaching, you know, tying that leash onto one of our trees so he could be outside for a while I'm doing something. I don't have to be there with him, right? But that this idea of being tethered, being tied to something, where it becomes an anchor point or a reference point. I think sometimes we, as humans, we kind of get lulled into the present. Sorry if you can't see me, but maybe that's fitting. We get lulled into the present, consumed with whatever it is that's in our hands. And this starts to feel like everything. Our whole world is right here. And this is all there is, all there ever was, all there ever will be. And this place is often a discouraging place. It's a stuck place. And Advent is like, it's like being tethered to the actions of God in the past and the promise of God in the future, and it pulls us up and holds us up and pulls up into a place of expectation and anticipation that the story isn't over and we're not just us down here, but we're a part of a stream of a story. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Pursuit of God, is that it? Yeah. He has a chapter called The Divine Continuum. Love that book. Such a huge influence in my life years ago. And he has this chapter where he describes how often as Christians we live. God is a divine continuum in the sense of an eternal being at work, never ceasing. And we sometimes forget that he's at work, or we only remember, we think of God like a flowing river, and we look down where it's coming from, and we see God's action way back there. And we look upriver and we dream of the day, but we sit back here where the reality is the call of faith is to step into the river and recognize that we stand within the story of a God who has not ceased. We're not in a big pause, though we are longing for what is to come. And our remembrance of what has come gives us hope for what is to come. You with me? Totally off my page. Let me get back. So Israel, God wanted to tether them with remembrance that would fuel anticipation. He did it through the Passover. And if we continue in Israel's story, we discover God and his wise love commanding and instructing them to order their lives around a number of feasts, a rhythm of holy seasons, each reminding them of another part of God's saving action on their behalf and what this means for them. Each feast renewing their hope that the story isn't over, and there is more to come because their God is a God who keeps promises. Do you see the wisdom of this? The grace of this? Especially recognizing how much life would take a lot of turns for the Israelites. How they would find themselves displaced in the midst of all sorts of seasons in their corporate life as a nation and their own personal lives. And the wisdom of God, their life was ordered by a rhythm of holy seasons, holy feasts marked into their calendars that would year after year remind them of who their God is and what he's done, tether them to God's action in the past and give them hope for what's to come. And that second part, hope for what's still to come, that's core to this. We need to make sure that as we think about Advent, we enter into the season, we are not just being invited to a holy act of remembering what once was. Remembrance, we can also forget what is still to come, right? We can forget. I said to my son yesterday about a trip that's going to happen this year. He's like, what? We're going on a trip? Actually, no, you're not coming on that one, but still. maybe it's good that he forgot. But we can forget at times, not just what is in the past, but what is still to come. And these feasts all serve that purpose. This is a vital dynamic to holy time. Not just remembrance, but remembrance of what's to come, and with that anticipation, which also serves God's purpose, is that it would serve to renew our hope and faith that the God who was wildly at work in the past, the God who will powerfully be at work in the future, is mysteriously, at times evidently, often hiddenly, with us at work, seeking his purposes. Oh, the wisdom and grace of this way of life with God in the world, a life ordered by regular remembrance of God's saving action in the past, God's promise for the future, anchoring their identity, orienting their life in the present, and fueling their hope for what was still to come. Do we really think that our life with God today is so different that we no longer need these seasons, these rhythms of remembrance? I think we do. And God's people down through the centuries have felt that we do. Just as the Israelites needed to regularly remember and be renewed by this remembrance, so do we. Which is what the Lord's Supper is all about, and why Jesus instructs us to take it often, because he knows that we are prone to forgetting, prone to forget what God has done and what this means about who God is and who we are in him. But along with the Lord's Supper, I'm increasingly coming to appreciate the wisdom of the seasons of the Christian calendar as a gift that we need, that I need, that I suspect many of us need, inviting us into a life shaped by the life of Jesus specifically. That's the difference between the Christian calendar and the Jewish calendar. The Christian calendar is shaped not by what God did for Israel in the Old Testament, but what God has done for all of us in Jesus. In his birth, life, ministry, teaching, death, resurrection, ascension, and his gift of the Spirit. As a wise colleague of mine explained to me a number of years back, she said, the liturgical year invites us to walk with Jesus through all the details of his life, and in this to know Jesus walking with us through all the details of our lives. Or someone else has written, the intention in following this calendar is to mark our time with Jesus, taking our lives and placing them in the story of Jesus, allowing the shape and rhythm of his life to shape our life and days, which in truth is just basic discipleship, isn't it? Ordering our lives after the life of Jesus, tethering our lives to the life of Jesus. Is this not what we need? So where do you start? Well, you start today. Today is the beginning of Advent. Happy New Year, in the Christian calendar sense. It seems odd to say happy Advent, so I would say Advent Shalom or something like that. As many of you know, or maybe don't, the word Advent is a Latin word that means coming or arrival, which is what Advent is all about. It's a season of looking back and looking forward to the promised coming, Advent, of Jesus into the world to redeem the world. In Advent, we look back to the first Advent of Christ in the incarnation, inaugurating God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and we look forward to the final Advent of Christ, when Jesus will come in glory to bring the fullness of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Advent seeks to help us grab hold or be grabbed by these two great events, and in the process, inviting us to a response of honest faith. I love that the liturgical calendar begins with Advent. This is why I love Advent so much, why I think we need it, especially in the evangelical church in our day, because it invites us, the church, to honest faith, to be honest with ourselves and one another, to be honest with the watching world and even God himself, honest about the joy and the pain of life with God today, honest about the already not yet of the gospel, the reality that in Christ, God has come to us and is now with us by the Spirit. And the days of saving grace are here. In Advent, we are invited to remember and celebrate and sing with gusto our praise and thanks that God has come to us in Christ for all the ways he has fulfilled his promises that we can name and declare in our own lives, in our world, and the lives of others. This is a season for us to sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Advent invites us to celebrate the ways in which we have already experienced the promises of God being fulfilled in Christ. Forgiveness is open to all today in Christ. The gift of the Spirit is available to all today in Christ. Repentance and new life can happen today because God in Christ has come to us. Jesus Christ is Lord today. Amen. And yet, in the midst of this, Advent also invites us to the honesty of acknowledging all that is not yet redeemed. That we who follow Jesus continually pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because right now, at present, the kingdom has not yet come in its fullness, and we know it in our bones. So much on earth, so much in us is not yet as it will be, not yet as it is in heaven. Advent invites us to honesty about all that is still incredibly broken in the world and in us, all the idolatry that still dominates our world and us, the sin, oppression, and suffering that too often feels like the loudest story, if not the only story, which is exactly why we need Advent and why I love that this is where the Christian calendar begins, because it tells us again where we are in the story. It reminds us of the ways that God has acted in the past, ways that God has already come in fulfillment of his promises, and reminds us of the promises that are still to come, that the story of God's redeeming work in the world and in us is not finished, which means we can be honest about the unfinished reality of our life now, the not yet of our lives, our hearts, our world now, without losing heart. Or without feeling the need to pretend that it's all as good as it gets, so we better put on a happy Christmas face. No, Advent invites us to an honest faith that both celebrates the grace of God that is already ours in Christ, and yet also calls us forward with honesty about all the ways the kingdom is not yet our experience, and fuels in us a hungry hope for the kingdom to come. It stirs in us the cry that Catherine had us pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." We find ourselves standing, tethered to the action of God, the promise of God. And we're reminded again, we can cry out. And we do with all God's people, with all the world, "Come, Lord Jesus." Trusting the story is not yet finished, that God's promise is still to be fulfilled. And not just for ourselves, not just in our own lives, but in and for the world, the whole world. Which is why our Advent tradition for years now has been to discern and embrace a kingdom need, opportunity, project to contribute to together as a way for us to enter into and live Advent, not just for ourselves, but for others, for the sake of the world. And so this year, our leadership team has been talking and praying and is committed to this year's Advent project on raising just shy of 10,000, though maybe way more, toward helping one of our missional partners, Mahima Homes. They're in Calcutta, India. They do good, needed, vital, beautiful work, helping women and children be restored after they've been rescued from the sex trade in the heart of that city. Mahima Homes, if you've maybe been there. We're partnered with them through Partners International, which has a base in Canada, and they're just our conduit to partner with Smita Singh and Mahima Homes and the work they do. They have a project that's called the Ashaloy Center. House of Hope is what it means. And it's a place where women and children who are being impacted or have been impacted or rescued from the sex trade are invited to come and be safe and receive care and training as they walk them toward a path of never having to return to the sex trade in their city. And recently, the building that they have is no longer available to them. And so they're looking to acquire a building. And there's an opportunity for them. Some others have given funds toward it, and there's still an outstanding need of $92,000 to acquire this building on the edge of Sonaghaccio, which is connected to this red light district in Calcutta, where thousands of women and children are trafficked every day. We've talked about this a few months back. And to turn this building into the new permanent home of the Ashaloy Center, the House of Hope, where they'll continue their ongoing work of restoring and rehabilitating women and children who've been ravaged by the sex trade in that city, and the process often leading these kids to know and trust the love of God in Christ. As I said, the true cost of the project is $92,000, but we are actually just one of multiple partners that are jumping in on this. I know of a church that recently gave $15,000 toward this. Our missions team said, let's take 10% of the $92,000 and make that our commitment to raise that together. But who knows, maybe we'll give far more. I mentioned this in the midst of my teaching this morning, because Advent reminds us that the promise of God, the dream of God, the hope of Jesus' kingdom, reign, shalom, is not just for us. It's for all. It's for the world. Which means that Advent isn't just about us. It's about the world. It's about being pulled into a place of holy tension where our hearts, again, with hope and faith, cry out for the fulfillment of God's promises. in our own lives and in the world, where we don't just sit back and hear the story of brokenness and tragedy, but we are pulled into it with God by the presence and grace of his Spirit who is with us today. It's about a God who loves the world and who in love has come to us in Christ to redeem the world and who has promised to come again and bring the fullness of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven to the people in Sonogoce and to us, to you and me. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to sing this together. But as they come, I want to ask, before we sing this song, where do you need this reminder? Where have you found yourselves? Down here. Why do you need Advent this year? Where have you lost sight of what God has done and the promise of what he will still do? Where are you tempted to lose heart and give up in the present? May God use this Advent season to renew our hope, your hope in God's promise, your passion for his kingdom, and your confidence in his empowering presence in these days. So with all that, let's come back to this song that we started with. We're gonna sing the whole song because this is really an Advent prayer. I'll leave it at that.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Sing it out, church.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all? Is all creation groaning?
Yeah.
Is a new creation coming?
Yeah.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
Yeah.
Is it good that we remind ourselves?
Is anyone able to free?
does a Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those He loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again?
Thank you for your mercy and grace that pulls us up from our forgetfulness and our hope that dies in that place. Oh Lord God, we ask in this Advent that you would lift up our hearts to remember with strong hope, to stand in the present. Remember a strong hope what you have done. To remember with great longing and hope what you will do, Lord. And that this remembrance would lift us up today to come running to you with honesty and to cry out, God, thanks and longing. In response to the message today, we're going to come and share the Lord's Supper together. So can I invite those that are going to serve the Lord's Supper to come down to the stations? As I mentioned, it is fitting for us. This is why Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper and called us to share in it often. But also because this is the act that is the hinge of the past and the future, right? It is not just a promise, it is the saving action of God in Christ, the offering of Christ's life on the cross, that through his death, the powers of darkness, sin, and the curse are taken to the grave. And Christ is raised up to new life, and we, by grace, are invited to be raised up with him into that new life, into the beginning, the foretaste of the kingdom today. And so we come with thankfulness, we come with honesty, we come with confession, our hands empty, a world that is broken in need of the saving action of God in eternity and today. So if you need the reconciling, redeeming work of God today, come with us to Christ and receive the bread and the cup, these symbols of the death, the offering of Christ for us. Come with the empty hands and receive from Christ.